Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show here on this Wednesday morning. Thank you very much for listening. Big show coming up for you today, but I want to introduce my next guest. Always a thrill to have on, very generous with his time, and things are certainly picking up right now as far as Montgomery goes with the legislative session. 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks away. Joining us on the line is State Representative Steve Klaus. He's also the chairman of the House General Fund. Representative, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Let's get to it. As I said, things are very busy right now. We were talking, and I would assume you're meeting right now, talking about the budget priorities and how that's going to look, especially under these circumstances, with who knows how it's going to play out.
That's right. Doing a lot of Zoom calls right now, but we'll have budget hearings starting next week. And then, of course, the following Tuesday, we'll go into the session. And then the second day, constitutionally, the governor is required to submit her budget for the education budget and the general fund budget. So we will see what she presents on February the 3rd. So just trying to anticipate where we're going. And it's just very, very unusual year again, but we're starting off with it being unusual this year, whereas last year we thought we were getting into a normal session and then everything fell apart in the middle of March.
Well, have you gotten any indication that is there anything out of the ordinary, or are you expecting anything? I guess the state's coffers are generally healthy given what's going on, but are things going to be different when you put pen to paper?
Well, they're going to be different the first few weeks. We're just having to feel our way through this until we can see how far this vaccine is getting and to see, where the virus is and if it's spinning out of control, that type thing. So what we're going to do the first 3 weeks, we'll go in on February 2nd, of course, and then the first 2 weeks, we're going to have 3-day sessions, and we're going to just basically be in the same posture that we were back in May when we just did the budgets and local bills, and the public wasn't allowed to come in the state house. So we're going to take up these time-sensitive issues that we wanted to do in a special session, the economic incentive package that expired back in September, the issue of there not being state tax on the stimulus funds, the issue of liability protection for businesses and the local governments for COVID-19 related issues, and then also local bills that have been introduced that have already gotten their advertising in, probably some sunset bills that won't be controversial. And we want to try to get that off the docket there those first 2 weeks. And then we will recess that third week, the week of February 15th, and sort of assess where everything is as far as how far the vaccine has gotten out, if any legislative members have contracted the virus, if any of the staff has. We have to spend some days quarantining, and we'll just be making a decision during that week. We already had the rule in the House, but of course the Senate adopted it last year after we got into the situation where in a state of emergency where the Speaker and the Pro Tem of the Senate can come in and call the session to order without a quorum, just them by themselves, and then go ahead and adjourn us to a time certain without us losing any legislative days. So, things have not gotten any better during that week, and that's probably what will happen until we can just see where things are going on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds more like you got to play it by ear, and it's unknown territory
right
here. But
yeah, it really is. Anyway, we'll, like I said, if we get that time since this stuff done that we've been talking about for several months, let's just get it out of the way. And then what if we are able to get back in and talk about controversial stuff, and you know, the public needs to be inside the state house because that's where a lot of the rubber meets the road on a controversial bill, is in the committee process with public hearings where people are testifying. And you know, it's just one thing to be able to watch it live streaming, but to actually, you know, be there and being able for citizens themselves to be able to speak, you know, that's important.
Well, and as you're constitutionally mandated to do, which are the budgets, is that, are you, will those maybe be a little bit earlier this year?
I hope so. That's what we're planning on. I'm planning on the fast track if we can, but it could get derailed. Well, we'll see over the next few weeks here, but that's why we're trying to put so much work in right now, which we do anyway, but really trying to fast track it here to see what the situation is, if we just have to just come back in and get the budgets and sine die, and then take up controversial stuff in a special session and that type of thing, which we're going to have special sessions anyway to deal with redistricting, for the legislative redistricting and congressional down later in the year. So we'll definitely be having special sessions this year.
Well, with the, I guess with the budgets, general fund, prisons front and center now with the DOJ lawsuit, the specter of that, is that going to be incorporated in that element, do you think, or is it still kind of wait and see what the governor does?
Well, it's a combination of both. So still waiting to see what she does on the bill lease proposal. Hopefully we'll know something here in the next, hopefully next week we're going to know something on that. But we've got a lot of issues with Department of Corrections and pardon and paroles that there's only one thing that's going to solve it, and that's money. So, you know, and that's one of the issues why have gotten so far behind the eight ball is over the last 40 or 50 years, is that's just been the one area when the budgets have been tight, and has always been tight in the general fund, that, you know, when you take care of Medicaid, that you always got to do to make sure you get that 2-to-1 federal match. Then that pushes everybody aside. And of course, prisons, they've never really had an advocate out there pushing for them, so it was always easy years and years ago to put them at the bottom of the stack, and of course it's like that old Midas commercial now, you know, you can pay me now, you can pay me later. So that's what's happening with the prisons for us now.
Well, I'm assuming that you know, whenever I have your colleagues on and all the you know, the set asides you put you know, in reserve funds and the conservative budgeting, that you're not expecting any kind of shortfalls in 2021.
I don't think so. And this time last year when we had to recess because of the virus, we didn't know where we were going to be. And as it turned out, and maybe the stimulus funds had a lot to do with that, keep portions of the economy going. We really came out a lot better and the end of September when the budget year ended than I anticipated on the general fund side and the education budget side. So we're okay. We're not doing as well as what we thought we were a year ago, but we're okay, and I think we're going to be able to craft a pretty good budget together.
You mentioned the stimulus funds, and this has been an issue lately, the reallocating money from the CARES Act money from I guess going, that was going to be for reimbursements to local governments to dedicating that to shoring up unemployment. Talk about that decision, if you would, and what led to that.
Well, it was a very complicated issue. The whole thing's been complicated since that was passed back in March by Congress, and then of course when we finally decided how we were going to do it in May during that last 2 weeks of that regular session by putting it in different buckets and allowing the Department of Finance to do that. And we really made a good decision there, because there's no way the legislature could have appropriated that money. I mean, we just didn't have the capabilities to do it with all the strings that were attached from the feds. And it really caused a lot of problems with all the different agencies not being able to get the money out there as readily as we were wanting to. Didn't think we could spend it, really all of it. And so it just basically came down to hitting that deadline there, that things like Department of Corrections, we had some $100 million allocated to them. And I mean, obviously, if you want to just spend it on anything in corrections, you could spend $1 billion on corrections, but there was just so much sanitation supplies and that type COVID related issues that you could buy. So I don't think they spent but about $7 million so of their dollars. So that could be moved around, and that was moved around and created a new bucket there for nonprofits and business, small businesses and faith-based organizations. And that went a long way to helping some of those organizations who really had their donations cut because of not being able to have their normal fundraisers that they do during the year. But on the city and the county part, it got down to the point where the paperwork had to be in there, or we were going to be faced with either having to lose those funds or put in some areas that we knew we had to have. And one of those areas was the unemployment compensation trust fund there that had really taken a hit since March. And of course, we have to each year, businesses, the Department of Labor has to notify businesses what their rate is on the taxation that they pay for unemployment claims on the employer's paycheck every pay period. So it came in very imperative that we get some money into that fund there, not only to keep the tax part down, but also to make sure that fund stayed up enough that could make sure that people who are receiving that $275 a week continue to receive that just for basic survival purposes. So it was something that we sort of need to make sure that fund stayed pretty flush there.
Representative, we'll kind of wind it down on this. You mentioned big controversial things, maybe having to wait a little longer. Would you categorize gaming? The governor had her task force report last month. Would you put gaming, gambling, lottery, all that into that category?
Yeah, I would definitely put that in there, particularly if it's going to be a comprehensive bill. And that's one of the things, one of the options that task force gave, is the comprehensive approach of putting the lottery in with the dog tracks and the Native American facilities, the Indian facilities. That will certainly, it's been controversial for 15 years, and it will certainly continue to be controversial, but particularly when you're trying to figure out the different sites. But that would certainly be an area where the public would want to be able to weigh in on, and the public hearing for a committee process,
And finally, this kind of more related to your district at home there, COVID-19 and obviously the vaccine, I guess you've seen the reports about that, but how are your constituents holding up?
Well, it's been pretty tough. We've had a lot of issues in our hospitals, and, we're having the same issues as far as the distribution part of the, you know, the 1-800 number that was put out, I never thought that was really going to be an answer. and it hadn't been. So it's been a learning curve, I'm sure, for the Department of Public Health. And I'm sure they're just following the CDC guidelines. But, you know, it just comes down to a matter of supply. We got to have more supply. And we got to have more venues to give the vaccine out. And it's probably going to take, you know, big places like civic centers or that type thing and giving the shot 24 hours a day to really make an impact as far as getting this vaccine out to the general public. And I think we'll figure that out here in the next month or so to really, really hit the broad-based public here.
Representative, we got to leave it there, but I want to thank you for your time, and stay safe out there and on into Montgomery.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff and Whitby. Looking forward to seeing you during the session.
Hopefully we can make it up there. State Representative Steve Klaus, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We will return. This is the Jeff Porsche Show on FM Talk 106.5. Daddy's coming home. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler. And they sure miss him when he's gone.